Are we waiting for Eric or no? I see your stuff. Okay, that sounds good. Good afternoon. It's my pleasure to gavel to order the Transportation Committee meeting for Monday, March 6th, Mount Pleasant Town Council. It's good to see everybody here. Our agenda has been published. Hope you all got a copy of that. Item number two is approval of the minutes from our February 6th meeting. Do we have a motion?
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, the minutes are approved. Item three is public comments. If you would like to address this committee, please come forward. We need your name and address. And since Eric's not here, somebody needs to get the timer going at 2.5 minutes, please. 2.5 minutes.
Good afternoon. My name is Doug Wetterer. I'm the current homeowner at 4094 Maidstone Drive in Carolina Park with the projected area for requested speed bumps. I am not in favor of speed bumps, and here are some reasons why. Speed bumps are a poor solution for reducing or calming traffic. These devices simply divert traffic to nearby blocks and adjacent communities, which won't solve the problem. Motorists will use alternative routes, causing increased traffic to other areas and creating new driving hazards. Furthermore, safety is often used as an excuse for speed bumps, but they actually pose serious safety risks. Speed humps affect the response time for emergency vehicles, and every second counts in emergency situations. Even a minor delay in emergency response is far more detrimental to public health and safety than any slight reduction in speeding. In addition, speed humps can cause injury to passengers and vehicles going over them. Repeated and constantly going over these devices can cause spinal damage and aggravate chronic back pain, according to neurosurgeons. Speed humps also don't take into consideration special needs of residents with disabilities. These devices limit their access to public right-of-way protected under the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act. Speed humps also pose a major risk to bicyclists, especially kids who ride in the streets to and from school. Bike riders will need to circumvent the bumps or ride the sidewalks, which create a hazard for pedestrians. Finally, speed bumps are noisy. Maidstone Drive is a common street utilized by delivery and work vehicles daily. Cars and trucks will need to slow down quickly to avoid bouncing over speed bumps and then increase acceleration, which leads to the endless sound of brakes and engine revving. In conclusion, while speed bumps may seem like a good idea for traffic calming, they're a poor solution that diverts traffic to nearby areas, pose safety risks, limit the access of residents with disabilities, pose a risk for bicyclists, and are noisy. Alternate traffic calming measures that are less invasive and more effective should be considered instead. Thank you for all your time.
Next, please. Public comment.
Hi, my name is Paul Franklin, and I'm also a resident on Maidstone Drive. And I don't know if you're familiar with Maidstone Drive, but it is a place where there are a lot of homes, but they're close together. And when Maidstone Drive was in Carolina Park was created, there wasn't a pass through to Dale Creek, which is the neighboring neighborhood. And that, for whatever reason, at some point in time, the road was granted to pass through Maidstone Drive. On surface, it seemed like a good idea. But now with the increased traffic, Maidstone Drive doesn't have a speeding problem and actually now has a cut-through problem. And we should be seeking solutions to address the cut-through problem. Because like the gentleman before stated with the speed bumps, it will only drive traffic through other areas of the neighborhood. And now your solution to put speed bumps along Maidstone, your next solution will be to put speed bumps through on Timmins, on Baden Bridge, on all the other neighboring streets that are there. So now you're going to basically pollute at least 25% of Carolina Park with speed bumps when the real problem should be addressing the cut through. Just like what they the gentleman said before, sign pollution, noise pollution, all the things you've probably heard of 1,000 times before. And so I just really would implore that you consider putting in some type of either emergency vehicle access only or removable posts. There's plenty of room between Carolina Park and Dale Creek to put a roundabout so that emergency vehicles can, or a cul-de-sac so the emergency vehicles can turn around. I think that's the solution we should be shooting for. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Next, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Frank Limbaugh. I live in the Creekside community on Crook Court. And I am in favor of the traffic control devices. Speed humps have been proposed for that neighborhood and for several reasons. I try to walk around 5 miles a day in Creekside at different times, and I can tell you from my own experience that people exceed the 25-mile-an-hour speed limit in Pleasant. And that includes residents, golf cart drivers, workmen, people who use the swimming tennis club are not residents, so the swimming tennis club there. My wife and I have lived in Creekside since 1988, and at this point, there are more children in Creekside now than there ever were. We were part of the young group who moved into Creekside, and there are a lot of children then. There are a lot more now, and they will become teenagers, and we all know what teenagers do. Teenagers like to drive fast. I'm also a lawyer. I handled insurance defense work for almost 20 years, including an occasional case where a pedestrian was hit by a car or a child and severely injured or killed. There is nothing worse than that kind of a tragedy. It alters the life of the child's family and the child. It also alters the driver's life. And so it's really a protection that would extend to both the child, his or her family, and the driver. So you have a terrible risk that those types of devices can help reduce. The burden is almost more on drivers. On Cottingham, there are a number of those speed bumps, and you can safely go over those speed bumps at 15, 16 miles an hour. Speed limit is 25 miles an hour in Creekside. You reduce it 10 miles an hour for that short a distance, it is an immaterial burden on the people who drive down Creekside Drive, which is the one street where they're proposed to be done. So it's a very, very minor burden. So what we have is a great need. People speed. They go over the speed limit. You have the potential for a great harm that can be significantly reduced and almost no burden.
Thanks.
So I support the speed bumps. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else for public comment? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Fran Hawk. I live in Creekside. I walk frequently and have had firsthand observation of speeders. And people talk a lot about the children. I'm worried about the senior citizens for maybe obvious reasons. But we can't move out of the way as fast as we would like to. And also, a lot of us have trouble hearing so that we don't know when vehicles are behind us. I'm not saying it's anyone, but my own experience. I think speed bumps, speed cushions would be an excellent way to slow things down. And I appreciate your service, and thank you for listening to us.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Cecilia Franco. I live on Dragoon Drive in Creekside. We've been there since 98. We raised our three children there. I was horrified with the traffic in 98 raising my three children in Creekside because there are no sidewalks. If that neighborhood was developed presently, it would have sidewalks. Please help us make this neighborhood safe. I walk a lot. I walk my dog. There's been one dog run over by a construction person a few years ago. There's been a child killed decades ago in Creekside. Please do whatever you can with whatever means you can to help our neighborhood be safer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Paige Grimble. I live at 742 Dragoon. First, I would like to thank Gary for how helpful he has been with our neighborhood through this. I actually am reading this on behalf of a neighbor of mine, Myra Jones, who lives at 730 Tribune Drive. She said, "My home sits at an intersection in which a stop sign is located. Frequently, drivers disregard the stop sign and roll through at speeds exceeding the 25-mile-per-hour limit. I've witnessed numerous pets being run over by vehicles speeding in the neighborhood, and this is traumatic for our families. If speed humps were to be installed, vehicles would be required to slow down and adhere to the posted speed limit. The inconvenience of having signage placed in a resident's yard for the speed humps is de minimis to the importance of controlling those who choose to break the speed limit and are dangerous to our neighbors. Frankly, I'm very disappointed in those who object to the speed humps in the neighborhoods as they're putting their self-interest over the public good. I support the installation of speed humps in Creekside Park." Thanks.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Sunny Dougal. I have lived on 745 Dragoon Drive for 33 years. And during these years, I have managed to walk the neighborhood practically every day with two young girls who are now grown and dogs. There's a few things that seem to me common sense. For instance, our neighborhood of 160 homes has precisely one often obscured speed limit sign. So my first point is that many of the people who are driving over a speed limit may not even be aware that they're driving over a speed limit. So the very first, most fundamental thing that I would like to ask for is just a few more speed limit signs. We can keep it at 25, we can lower it to 15, 20, whatever, but there are a lot of people who don't know how fast they're going. A lot of today's cars are heavier, stronger, faster. We have a lot of younger, newer drivers. They get behind the wheel of a great big SUV, they step on it. Before they know it, they're doing 40 miles an hour in a neighborhood. The second thing I'd like to point out is we do not have enough street lamps. Now, that makes visibility also a related issue. I, for one, have been coming here for about 5 years, occasionally formally, occasionally informally, to talk about visibility also. And of course, in fall and winter, that situation is exacerbated. Third point, there is a complete breakdown of civility in our neighborhood. And this is partially because there are a great number of people who don't live there who are responsible for this problem. We have an increased number of workers. We have an increased number of delivery people. Let's face it, delivery trucks have tripled since COVID came along. And a lot of these people do not appreciate, as I will personally vouch for, if you try to flag them down, tell them they're going too fast, I've been insulted, I've been flipped the bird, I've been, you know, told to get out of the way, I've been told to wear brighter clothes, wow. You know, because it was dark. Yeah.
Thank you,
and let's
hope
we get something.
Anyone else for public comment? All right, we will close the public comment portion of our agenda and move on to item 4, which is 2022 traffic calming program recommendations.
Thank you, Mayor. So you see in front of you here are 2022 applications for traffic calming, which includes speed humps and driver feedback signs. Of the speed hump applications, we approved through the data collection process and through the petition process, 4 of the 15 applications. And those include Myrick Road, Eastlake Road, Maidstone Drive, and Creekside Drive. I will say with Creekside, we are still working with the applicant to fine-tune the locations of those homes. But these are the recommended four that met those requirements of our guidelines. Additionally, we have three applications for driver feedback signs that met the criteria as well, and those are National Drive, Brickyard Parkway, and Hobcobb Bluff Drive. These are roadways that are more appropriate for this type of infrastructure as opposed to speed cushions. And at the bottom, you'll see the cost breakout by those types of infrastructure. So this is what we're bringing to you today for approval for the 2022 Traffic Calming Program. Happy to answer any questions.
Let me ask a question. Can we, for the record and for the benefit of the members of the public who are here, when you say they have met our guidelines, you know, is that the petition phase and the neighborhood feedback and all of that as well?
Correct. Yes, sir. So as part of that process, we do collect speed data, which has to be 5 miles an hour over the posted speed limit for the 85th percentile speed. That it just means 85% of the vehicles are going at or above that speed. So all four of those neighborhoods that we're bringing you today met that speed threshold requirement. This is a breakdown of which you might have difficulty seeing. I'm happy to provide this information to the public as well. And this goes down into much more granular detail about what those speeds actually were. They were all over 30 miles an hour, which again set threshold. In addition to that, once an application meets that speed criteria, we do set a petition zone that encompasses houses and folks that would be inconvenienced by the installation of these devices. And that's a 70% requirement in favor to then come to you today as we are for that approval process.
And does that mean 70% of the residents responding positively?
Correct, yes, sir. 75%
within the defined petition area.
Right, okay. This is bringing up some memories. My first committee as a council member back in 2015 was transportation, and we were working on the groves. And I don't know how long that took, but I know the point is valid that because I think Lansing Drive was the problem, and the groves is a perfect grid pattern, as we all know. And we spent a lot of time figuring out where to put others because we didn't, as the gentleman mentioned today, want to shift that traffic to the other streets and roads. So particularly for that one that was addressed today, what are the ramifications of that?
So, yes, sir, that's something that we look into when we're doing, kind of laying out that petition zone area is where feasibly someone could essentially circumvent these devices once installed. And so those are all the folks that are included within, you know, having the ability to have a say on whether they are for or opposed of those devices. So we do look at it from a more holistic standpoint. You know, it is, the process is meant to look at neighborhoods kind of really in a holistic sense, but there are times where things do become sort of piecemealed, as you've seen with, you know, with the groves and the old village and places like that. But for at least the Maidstone approach there, that one, you know, really did have quite a number of petition areas, residents that were part of that petition. Can't know what the exact number was, but it was quite a number of them. And again, the 75% responded favorably towards those.
Mayor, one other point on that is these are speed cushions. And if you recall that conversation several years ago, we moved away from the humps due to the concerns about emergency response vehicle. So it's not what you typically, it's not what we have, you know, here in the groves. Those are actually speed humps. So these cushions are really designed to let the emergency vehicle straddle the cushion, whereas most chassis and wheel, widths of wheel bases can't. So they feel it. But they feel it, but you can still do anywhere generally comfortably 18 to 20 miles an hour. So, and even if that were 15 for some people, like we say, that's really
we don't feel that's enough to start driving people, and we have not seen that, driving people to other streets, because it's still going to be the probably the fastest way for that pathway.
Okay. And something that got my interest today, how do these affect delivery trucks? Because we all know, we're talking today about our recycling bins full of Amazon and other boxes and stuff. And it is a new presence in our neighborhood, or at least an increased presence in our neighborhood. So I guess these don't prohibit those, obviously, but they do affect their speed. And would you tell us, and I see some new faces here and all, I know there is a method to where and how they are installed. You don't just pick a spot on the street. You measure it to intersections and the, in Salem, you'd call it the reach that they have to get up to their speed or whatever. So if you tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, sir. So when we look at the placement of the humps, obviously there's a number of different things that come into effect. There's a recommended spacing between humps, a recommended offset from intersections. We don't like to place them in curves so that the driver has enough time to understand that they are going to be encountering these devices. And so that's really, we look at everything down to location as far as it relates to existing driveways. We try to place them in a manner to where they sort of split a property line, so not one resident versus another is adversely impacted to that. So all of those things are what we look into when we actually delineate the placement of the humps, which happens after the approval today. So,
okay, so if this advances, what you'll do is start figuring out where you're putting these cushions, right?
Yes, sir. We do have a draft location for all these four locations, okay. Two humps per application. So that's something we'll finalize and place the order and get them installed upon approval.
It's generally about 400 to 600 feet is our target. That's where they're effective.
Okay. Yes, sir. Committee?
Did you have something? I was just going to move to approve.
I do have a question before we do that. Ms. Morrison or Satan. So 75% of we're talking about Maystone right now, petitioned that he wanted these humps, correct? So,
yes, sir.
The cushion, excuse me, thank you. Of that 25% that did not, some of the voices here today, do they have any input at all as far as not, if they didn't want the humps or the cushions in their neighborhood, to not have it in front of their homes? You know, if it sounds like if you got 75% that wanted the neighborhood or those who wanted it, I just don't know if you take into consideration the folks that didn't want it, didn't want signs in front of their homes, didn't want the cushion in front of their house and the noise. Is there any consideration for those folks?
As much as we could make a consideration for anybody who was opposed to something, we certainly would do that. I don't know if that's the case here, but at some point the previous restraints that James mentioned, driveways, property lines, we got to think about signage, all those things would go into a design. But yes, we would certainly take into account if we were able to, whether somebody opposed, and we have done that in the past.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Mr. Chapman? Okay.
No, I was just going to move to approve.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. The if we go back a page on what we're showing, the motion would include the feedback signs as well.
Yes.
So we don't need a separate motion for calming applications. Okay. And the feedback signs, are those the are those permanent or are those the movable?
They're permanent.
The permanent ones that show you your speed?
Yes, sir. Like we have in the old village.
Okay. So there again, there's kind of an issue of the right place to put them. And, okay.
Yes, sir.
I know Charleston National, I'm picturing, because there's a place where you can come in where it wouldn't be right in front of somebody's home, probably. I'm not sure about Hobcall Bluff. Brickyard Parkway is probably an easy one, I'd say. Never say that when you find a...
I
withdraw that.
You jinxed us.
But you do have a parkway going in where you're not going to figure out whose house you're in front of. I get that. I'm not sure about Hobcall Bluff, but...
It's similar.
And there's the clubhouse and stuff.
Houses on it, so you put it before you get to the houses.
Okay. And is it like with the traffic calming that those neighborhoods have requested and support this? And
yes, it's a little bit less involved than the speed hump program portion as far as petition zones, but this is an application where we do something very similar. We collect speeds. And then, yes, go ahead and install that. And there's some other considerations as far as location, obviously not in front of folks' homes. And then they are solar powered, so there needs to be a good source of sun in that particular area. So those are things that we'll consider when determining the final placement.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
I think now that we have a motion and second, the only thing I want to just reiterate is if we can work with the folks who did not want it to accommodate as much as we could, I would appreciate that happening.
All right. All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carries. Item 5 is update on comprehensive traffic study. This is something that the committee asked to do. It's traffic is the number one complaint that we get around town. You all know we've been working for years on our road, new road construction. We envision this as being something that tells us what our traffic patterns are, where we might could do the smallest changes to get the biggest results so that we get to home and work faster. So if y'all give us an update on that.
Yes, sir. I'll be happy to do that. We had a very good meeting last week, a kickoff meeting with Stantec, who's one of our on-call traffic consultants. And we have a scope of work that I think we've shared with the committee before on what they will be doing, but that was their official notice to proceed. So just like any study, we'll generally have an upfront data collection task. Those are tasks 1 through 3 that you see here, reviewing a bunch of the information that we already have, including the recent comp plan public information meeting feedback, as well as things we've heard directly from the committee. So we're going to do that first, collect a bunch of information, try to have some initial findings. Then we're going to sit down with the committee members to make sure we're on point, that we're going to be addressing the things that they have concerns about or the constituents have concerns about. And that is kind of an opportunity for us to either pivot if we weren't on point or add scope at that same point. So number 4 is kind of a key milestone for us in the study. After that, then we will go into the analysis, and steps really 5 through 7 I anticipate will be somewhat iterative, meaning we'll give information to the committee so that you can respond to it and give us some more direction and proceed from there until we have a final strategy and plan. And then that strategy and plan, this should be done probably within 4 to 6 months. So it'll be good timing for us as far as where we fall in our, where we're looking at our capital improvement program and the programming of funds for that, as well as anything we might want to talk about at CHATS level and BCD COG. So that's an update. We just started, but we've hit the ground running.
So should we be referring to it as a mobility study instead of a traffic study? Is that the more professional word?
I have map on mine, but it's whatever we want to call it.
Let me ask, and this is to pick up and expand the work that y'all started. Was it last year or year before when y'all started identifying some signaling equipment that either needed to be tweaked or some of it replaced?
Yes, sir.
And everything? So the scope of this would hopefully expand that, because y'all found some great cures and fixed a lot of things, and I really am grateful for that. So I'm just hoping that this will look at those same things, right?
It does, and also I think that you'll find we're going to have some really interesting data, what we call metadata. So it's all the data we get from Google and, mm-hmm. and Waze and those things that we can graphically show you how traffic moves throughout our town and where it bogs down at certain times. So that'll help us pinpoint some issue areas that we can start looking for solutions. So we've had those discussions. They're already collecting that data. So yes, sir, we'll be looking at all aspects, signal systems, roadway projects, any specific intersections that are coming up.
Do we look at accident records?
We are looking at accident crash data. Yes, sir.
I want to hear from the two who have spent decades working in this line of work. Make sure we're covering all the bases. And
how do you make the buses work?
And school buses. There you go.
Well, I'll start. Number 5 on this list looks like
a real good place to spend a lot of time and come up with ways in which to assist with reducing congestion, because these congestion points, and I can think of two initially, one is at Annanap and 17, another is at right outside here, it's 17 Mathis Ferry and
east of Northcutt, yes sir.
Yeah, so if we can start homing in on some of these as quickly as possible, and you know, another one is Bowman Road. Even though we've got an overpass, I think a determination of the signal timing and the lane usage at the service road and Bowman could be of immense assistance because of the two hospitals that are served here. But anyway, I'm really looking forward to working with the consultants as much as I'm allowed to, and coming up with ways in which to reduce traffic congestion in the town.
Chief?
Yeah, I was speaking of my former first responder experience and some conversations I've had since then and before. So looking at number three, detailed crash analysis and high crash locations, and meet with first responders. So I know y'all work together, because I know they collect data, you guys collect data, can determine a lot from that, like where the accidents happen, causes that the police department can respond to. I know our fire department is already working on, if not already have in place, the override for the traffic lights to help get through for emergency response. What I would just want to, again, reiterate and talk about is how do we get a disabled or a minor accident off the road quicker. When we talk about mobility and congestion, we can do all the engineering that we want to do and get the new roads in and get improve the lights. But when we get the disabled or we have the accident, the minor accident, and it starts backing up everywhere, every artery gets backed up, that's one of, hopefully we include ways to mitigate that a lot quicker, whether it's with some different type of vehicles, help remove these disables or these accidents, or even consideration for pull-off areas. If you have an accident, you know, in this minor pull-off here, so we can continue to have a traffic flow. So hopefully those will be part of your discussion. I would encourage that to be part of the discussion, especially when we meet with our first responder, because they definitely have the knowledge and they want to move the cars out if there's no injuries, obviously, as quick as possible and get it flowing again. Thank you.
Great. We certainly welcome input from you, Chief, and Mr. Chapman, and Ms. Corley also, with your experience and all of these issues, hot spots at schools, network-wide incident management. We've had these discussions with our consultant. They're very aware of all the things that you've already talked about, and hopefully when we sit down with you, we're going to be saying all the things that you're expecting, and if not, we're going to find out. And we're going to add that scope. So I think we're in good position to address all of the things that you'll be discussing. Ms. Cool.
I think this is great timing for this study. Brad, are you looking for this to get us through like a 5-year period, or can it be measured that way, or not really? Well, just looking at it right now and how can we make it.
I think it's more in line with kind of what the mayor's saying. It's really a priority of hot spots that we can reach quickly, either through existing management that we already have, or you know, then we go from there to low hanging fruit as far as financially what we can reach. Our long range transportation plan still really guides our long range view of transportation, and you know most of all of those. And none of that's changing as far as projects we're going to define, et cetera. But it's really going to be where do we need to put the emphasis right now?
Right. And we have to remember that the county is going to be doing Highway 41. The state is going to be doing 526 and Long Point Road. And we have already begun here at Coleman and Patriots Point. So some of the big areas are, you know, two of the biggest areas are you hate to say out of our control. They're not out of our influence, as we have seen on both of those designs. We've gotten some accommodation that the town really wanted, but this will all be totally within our purview.
Yes, sir.
And I guess if we can, I'm sure Stantec is good enough to take a look at this as best as those plans have been established to see if any changes at 41 or at Long Point 526 are going to have a different effect on us that maybe we didn't think about, or some other roads. I know that's a lot of moving parts, but y'all are pros. Y'all are good at it.
Well, to Mr. Chapman's point, the majority of our scope really is in that task number 5, as far as cost goes, because that's the most intensive part.
Right.
And if we find something along the way that we need to add to that, we will do it.
Right. And like you were saying, I just want to reiterate, those are long-term solutions. Those will be years in the making, or some sooner than others. But a lot of this, we'll get an answer, and we can do something and hopefully see some results. The smallest change and the smallest cost for the biggest results is always a great way to go. Do y'all need anything from us on this at this point?
No, sir. We'll be coordinating meetings with two of you each at the same time, probably.
Okay.
Probably in the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else before we move to the next item?
Mr. Mayor, may we be excused to...
Oh, absolutely. Y'all can be. Yes. Great. Thank you for asking.
And thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank y'all very much. Right. So next is item 6, consideration of Vision Zero Resolution for Safety Action Plan.
Yes, sir. So what we're bringing to you here today is a resolution establishing a target zero policy in order to achieve reductions in traffic fatalities and severe injuries. So I'll give you a background of why we're bringing this to you. It really is a program that was established by the Federal Highway Administration and has been adopted since at most state levels, including South Carolina Department of Transportation and DPS, Department of Public Safety, at the level. And this policy here is a resolution that we're requesting a motion from you today on, more than likely sending it to council for approval. And it really did come up as part of our staff's investigation into a safety action plan, which is a study that's being conducted currently to look at the town facilities, much very similar to what the previous discussion on our mobility study, and really dovetailing into that as well. So we are really in the midst of that study for the safety action plan, and really why we are requesting this is we are looking to pursue a grant this summer for the Safe Streets for All grant to implement some of the recommended improvements from the safety action plan. Obviously, we have existing ones in place through public services, through the police department. You mentioned fire preemption. So these are things we're already doing. It's not a request for new funds, just more of a formalization of existing activities that we have. And for that grant, a Vision Zero statement is strongly recommended as far as being competitive within that grant application. So, again, that we will be pursuing that grant here in July is when we anticipate that to be published. And so we will be getting you a copy of this Vision Zero. It's been looked over by our legal department, and they've addressed comments. And so we've got really a latest and greatest draft to provide you with for your review and approval.
I would move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
All right, we have a motion and second, I guess, discussion. So legal checked off on this, that it's okay.
Yes, sir. And I'll just say that they took a model and oriented towards the town's programs that we already have. And as I'll just also emphasize that this does not involve any new resources or funding.
Ordinances. It's just a
resolution. It's just a resolution, so we support this effort.
Okay.
And it's really needed to satisfy the grant to say,
hey, now that you've done that, if you're going to get serious about it, you have a safety action plan, you have some programs, we can give you funding to actually start taking down some of these projects.
Okay. And will this need to go to full council?
Yes, sir.
Next Tuesday. Okay. So let's just make sure we're familiar enough with it that if we have to defend it to the rest of council or explain it and just expound on it a little bit, that we're ready to do that. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mr. Morris, Lerma Stage on. So I think a slide back, you know, had listed some things like DUI checkpoints. Here we go. Go back to traffic enforcement, et cetera. So would that be some of the requirements? And if you got the grant, that you'd have to meet so many checkpoints, so much enforcement?
No, sir. So this is really just meant to highlight existing programs that we have going on, really, again, just to show that this is a formalization of activities that are already happening across the different departments, police, fire, engineering, development services, et cetera. So basically what that report will generate is a prioritized list of improvements, safety improvements within the town, both vehicular, pedestrian, and bicycle alike, and allow us to pursue based off of those estimates that will be developed as part of that safety action plan, pursue that federal funding to actually implement those improvements in the field.
And am I correct assuming that this data either already has been or will be shared with the police department, like the crash data fatalities, where they can use it to reduce some of these items?
Yes, sir. So that's we have pulled through efforts with DPS and SCDOT. We have that crash data for the past 7 years.
Just be sure with RPD as well, the ones who are actually going to be in the trenches handling it.
Correct, yes. We're, as part of the safety action plan, we had a stakeholder group specifically for first responders, county EMS, fire, police, that provided input into areas that they know, and then also sharing this data with them for things that they, really confirmation from what they typically see in their day-to-day activities.
Thank you.
All right, we have a motion. We have a second. Is there any further discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve, please say aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries unanimously. So, item 7 is ongoing projects.
Yes, so we'll go through our major projects here, the first one being a Patriots Point intersection gateway improvement project. So this project is obviously under construction now. Our contractor is beginning work here on the drainage system on the Patriots Point side of the approach, while on the McGrath-Darby side, we have some other utilities, AT&T and Dominion, that are continuing to move their utilities out of the way. So far, we are on schedule here to, again, complete construction this summer, August 2023. And they're out there doing some boring in that photo there. Next project, Vaughn Ed Key project. So this is the new connector road, 17 rifle range. So this project here, as you can see in the photo, if you've been out there lately, they have placed the multi-use passes as part of the Mount Pleasant Way project on both sides of the roadway, really for the majority of this section here. They will be moving into more of the drainage improvements soon. Again, paving will happen this summer, final pavement for the roadway. And again, we're looking at completed construction of October 2023. We have our Billy Swales 4B project. We sent an update to you later last week with an update on the schedule for this project. So this project is being worked on right now. We have been released by DOT for right-of-way, so we are beginning to pursue that very aggressively. We had a meeting this morning with our right-of-way agent and our design consultant to begin moving on that rather quickly. That's, again, in the appraisal process, so that'll be happening over the next couple months here. In tandem, we'll continue with the design and getting this in front of both DOT and the U.S. Army Corps for their review, and there's an updated schedule here, broken out by tasks, really with the critical path item being the review of the plans from the Army Corps. They are very very busy, as we all are, and their turnaround estimate time to review projects is anywhere between 9 and 12 months of this scale. But we have been coordinating with them really over the past year or so. So they have seen this project. So we're very hopeful and confident that
they'll be able to turn it around on that lower end of the spectrum time frame. Again, this would be going to construction in early 2024. It's got the Maritime Port District intersection improvements. So this project has been notice to proceed as was given last month. So the contractor is out there. He has installed a silt fence out there. So they'll be beginning to do the drainage improvements, which are primary. This project had an 18-month construction window. Mainly all of that was revolved around the lead time for both pipe material, which we've pivoted and sort of addressed that to shift from concrete pipe to HP pipe. So this will be one of our pilot projects there. To do that, the lead time on that is significantly shorter. And then also the traffic signal mast arms, it's about an 8 to 10 month lead time on those materials. But the contractor will be really kind of doing all of that road work up front, and the signal section will happen at the end. We can utilize the existing signal and shift signal heads to allow for that road work to continue while we wait on those materials. We've got All-American Boulevard. Phase 1 and 2. So this project, we did just receive our permit, CZC permit. So we are finalizing right-of-way with the Wells Fargo track, the Laurel Hill County Park section. And again, this project's looking to go to construction here this summer. We're receiving the remainder of the funds for construction in fiscal year 2024, anticipated. And so we look to bid the project here kind of in the May, June timeframe. So that way we're ready to really kind of hit the ground running on that once those remaining funds are allocated. So 18-month construction completion duration. And that is all.
So a lot of road construction. Are there enough orange cones in this part of the country?
There's probably a shortage, I imagine.
Wow. That's a lot. Thank you all for the update. Any questions on those or comments? All right. Thank you for the updates. And I think we had a great meeting today. We look forward to moving forward on the mobility study. Whatever you want.
Thank you very much.
If there's nothing else, item 8 is for us to adjourn.